Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us we have Sandra Cavanaugh. Sandra has coached thousands of successful entertainment specialists, professionals, entrepreneurs, CEOs, service professionals, parents, educators, and students of all ages and abilities to unleash their own unique creative genius with miraculous results. Sandra uses techniques and strategies that she has developed over more than 30 years as an educator, entrepreneur, consultant, and as a creative artist. She's a writer, director, actress, singer, songwriter, amazing talent. And I'm so thrilled to have you with us today. Sandra, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me, Vicki.
So tell us a little bit, for those that may not know you yet, how you came to this passion and purpose in life that has evolved into so much creativity and so much of that shared with others?
Well, I started out very young acting and singing and creating, and it was always a passion in my life. And I was a graduate of the National Shakespeare Conservatory in New York and the National Theatre of Great Britain's pilot acting program. I had a lot of wonderful opportunities, became an actor in New York when I was in my 20s, and started during that time teaching. And I was teaching acting, teaching improvisation, and teaching voice and speech. When I was working with actors, I started to realize that a lot of the imaginative, spontaneous responses that we have, we hold on to them and sort of hone them before we let them out to other people. And then I started teaching at universities and conservatories across the country. And when I really got into university teaching, that was when I saw that all of the adults that I was working with had forgotten how to play. They had really forgotten just how to imagine and play and not be worried about the grade. So I started teaching really a lot of courses in college that were titled Spontaneity and Imagination. The more that I played in that field over the years, as I became an artistic director, I got a couple of graduate degrees in directing and playwriting, and I taught at universities for many, many years, but I also started working with children with special needs, gifted and talented, quote-unquote, children in the public school system, and kids that were developmentally delayed. From all ages, from preschool up through PhD work, I've taught every age. What I found is that I literally could not walk into a room where anybody, regardless of their age, regardless of their ability, believed that they had something profound and important to share with the world unconditionally. And if they did believe it about themselves, they didn't believe it about everybody else in the room. And I started to work with this premise that everybody's a creative genius if you just give them the opportunity to explore and express it. But I believe on a spiritual level that we're all here for a purpose, that we have a passion and a mission and a unique creative genius that we are here, we alone are here to express. And what the education system and our work system and just our societal, quote, norms do is they interrupt that. They stifle it. So I've started with speaking and teaching, regardless of who I'm speaking to or who I'm teaching, when I walk into the room, first question I ask is, raise your hand if you've ever had to stop and think. And everybody inevitably raises their hand. And then I say, no, you didn't. You've never had to stop and think. We think faster than we can possibly even perceive. There are studies that we think everything from 20,000 thoughts a day to potentially 600,000 thoughts a day if we consider all of the thoughts, those recognized and unrecognized, conscious and unconscious thoughts. But an acceptable average is 60,000 thoughts a day. Well, if we're thinking that fast, we've never had to stop and think. It's happening rapid fire constantly. What we do is we stop to censor. We stop to judge. We stop to decide which thought is worthy of being expressed. And so what I do when I work with people is I help them notice the thoughts they're not expressing and then look for the creative genius in that.
That is so beautiful. And your book, Spontaneous Brilliance, is such a wonderful expression of that. I was wondering, how did all of the work that you're doing evolve into a book? Because I honestly believe, just like you are saying that everyone has talents and brilliance within them, I think everyone also has a story within them that needs to be told. And you are telling yours in the most beautiful fashion. So how did that come about?
Well, you know, like I said, I've been doing this work for a very long time, and I started to recognize that there was a confusion in most people, even educators and artists, between creativity and artistic ability or an artistic penchant. And so when people are in the arts, they're thought to be creative. When people are in other fields, particularly just the general workforce or even in education, people will say to me constantly, well, I'm not a creative person, or I don't have an imagination. I love that one. I don't have an imagination. Everybody, obviously, has an imagination. It's just that what they mean is, I don't have a pull, I don't have a drive toward being an artist of some kind, or my imagination was told to shut up and sit down so that I could get this A. And I have been fascinated by the fact that when I work with kids, particularly with developmental disabilities, that the expectation is that they don't have anything valuable, remarkable, magical to express. And I've found quite the opposite to be true. What the problem is that we are wanting them to respond within a certain amount of time or within a certain kind of parameter, so we don't take the time to listen. And I had many years of experience in working with teachers to teach them to teach in an imaginative, accepting, compassionate way. What I was really struck by a couple of years ago was a special education teacher in a high school that was watching me work with her students, and I'd worked with her students for many months. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the class, she said, you know what I love about Ms. Kavanaugh? And all the students looked up at her from their work, and they're like, what? She goes, she teaches like she doesn't know there's anything you can't do, and so there isn't. Mm. And all of the students just looked at her and went, oh, okay, well, thanks for sharing, and went back to what they were doing. You know, it really didn't matter to them because they were having so much fun creating things that people thought they couldn't create. And I literally have had students where I was told that they were nonverbal or they'd never written two paragraphs in their life, and so they were not going to do what I was stepping into the classroom saying to do, which was write a play or write a screenplay or write poetry or create a piece of art. The teachers would tell me, well, okay, you can come in as an artist in residence, but this isn't going to work. And I would get the kids not only to speak, but to improvise, and to improvise individually and improvise as a group and to write. And I had kids over several years literally win national competitions when they were functioning in their particular school at a level that everyone thought was going to be not even functional in society, but they were able to win national writing competitions competing with students who were, quote-unquote, of average or exceptional developmental abilities at that same age. So I started to look at the possibility of kind of codifying what I was saying, and I was speaking, and I one day looked at some TED Talks, and I was listening to TED Talks, just kind of distracting myself from some other work I was doing, and every speaker there who inevitably had a book was talking about creativity. They were talking about creativity in terms of business and how to get more creative in the workplace. And there was sort of this fervor that started several years ago because IBM did a study in over 60 countries with over 1,600 CEOs in business and business leaders, and they were asked if they felt prepared for the future and what was the one thing they were most concerned about in their companies in being prepared about the future, and they said overwhelmingly they were concerned about creativity. So everybody started talking about creativity in business. Everybody started talking about what was wrong with the education system and how we weren't getting to creativity. So all these talks, these people are talking about innovation and imagination and creativity, and they're codifying it and they're going on, and I'm listening to these talks, and every single one of them started talking about the evaluation process and how that led to innovation and invention, which is what business often tends to be concerned with. And they never spoke, not one of them said the word spontaneity. And spontaneity has been really my linchpin of what I've been teaching and talking about for years with actors and everyone, because I was trained by some crazy improvisers, Roddy Maud Roxby and Ken Campbell, and in the work of Keith Johnstone, a brilliant man who wrote Impro and really inspired me. He's an improvisation teacher, but he really focused on the spontaneous thought. And so my work for 30 years had been in developing that. And when I heard all these speakers on creativity, and they weren't even touching on the idea of spontaneity, they were talking about how you judge whether your thought is worthy. Very early in their discussions, I was just screaming at the screen. And my 28-year-old daughter, who does film work and writing work with me, she was sitting across the room, and she said, "Mom, for God's sake, I know what you think. They don't hear you. So for God's sake, would you please write a book? Just say it to somebody else." You know, I hear this tantrum all the time, but she's like, "Please write a book so that somebody else will listen to this." After I stopped laughing at her plea, I just said, "Well, you know, yeah, I should. I really should write this down, because I think this book is about seeing the magic in your own brilliance. And not only noticing the magic in your own brilliance, but accepting that every single person around you is a unique creative genius. I feel like it's kind of my calling to stand on the mountaintop and scream, can you imagine how our education system would change and how business would change and how our family dynamics would change if we took for granted that every person that we are speaking to, regardless of their age, regardless of their codified developmental ability or their IQ, that they are a unique creative genius with their own purpose for being here, and that we have to, our responsibility is to look for that, listen for that, nurture it, and have faith in it. Parenting would change. Educating would certainly change. I just had an educator say to me the other day, brilliant, brilliant teacher, and she said, "Well, you know, okay, but being an educator in the classroom, you can't always allow that spontaneous thought to come out of every child, because then how are you ever going to get to the lesson you're supposed to be teaching?" And she said, "What if somebody's unique creative genius in my classroom while I'm teaching English starts to sprout out, and it's their unique creative genius is in nature. I can't take all 30 students outside. And I said, no, but you can say to that child that is obsessed with nature, okay, I tell you what, I really am thrilled that you're this excited about the leaves. So how about next week you come back and you have brought us examples of what you're excited about in nature and take pictures of it with your phone and record it. Tell us about it and come in and help us learn about what you're excited about. My thought is then you teach everybody in the class how to make a PowerPoint presentation. You teach them all to look for their unique thing that they are interested in that they think nobody else knows about. So they are learning. Then if you're teaching English with it, teach them to write a paper on what that is that they're excited about. But it's really about fundamentally getting down to the basic principles of improvisation, which is offering, accepting, and blocking, understanding those, utilizing those, and then treating those consciously in every conversation that you're in every opportunity that you're in to express your own unique creative genius and to respect the genius of others.
Oh, that is so beautiful, and how empowering is that? So with your book, what are you hoping readers will take away?
I'm really intending to give some insights and pathways and strategies for awakening that awareness of the unique creative gifts that they have, and then giving them real specific strategies and pathways for expressing it so that they can recognize it, honor it, explore it, and then act on the spontaneous thoughts that they have. Because most of the time, we are not even noticing or giving time to nurture those thoughts because we got to go to work, and then we got to get home, and then we got to make dinner, and then we got to, you know. But it's not just the concept that everyone's a unique creative genius. It's really taking the journey to explore it so that they can get excited about their purpose, their path. I say that really this book is about faith. It's about developing a faith and a recognition of that creative genius that's inherent in all of us.
That is just so amazingly beautiful. And it's been so beautiful having you with us today. Thank you so much for your time. And I know that the book, which is absolutely brilliant, Spontaneous Brilliance, can be found on Amazon and major booksellers. But can you tell us where people might be able to go on the web to connect with you and maybe tap into some more of the wonderful wisdom you shared with us today?
Sure. It's sandracavanaugh.com. And then the other website is creativityspecialist.com. So either one of those will take them to lots of information about me, how to get in touch with me, and I am always happy to provide lots of help and assistance and information in how to really live a spontaneously brilliant life.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Sandra, thank you again so much for the generosity of your time and sharing all this wonderful, wonderful uplifting and empowering wisdom with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Vicki. I've really enjoyed it.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and community, you can find us at mybookmybiz.com. That's mybookmybiz.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.